Living Proof with Beth Moore is sponsored by the friends and partners of Living Proof Ministries.
I want His Word to speak over me before this world speaks over me. And it speaks loud, it's noisy, and there are a lot of voices going at once. And it is important to me that I hear from God before I hear a whole lot of noise from the world. Here's what I want to do in the coming moments. This huge hindrance is that many of us feel like we're not getting a lot out of our time with God. What's that supposed to look like? For some of us, you're like, you know, I can't even get through 15 minutes of prayer without running out of things to say. I mean, like, it's just me talking. I don't know if He's even listening. I don't know how it's even connecting. I don't sense anything at all, and it's just like, I'm just going to give up because I don't think anything's happening anyway. And can I see anybody's hand if you've ever had that go through your mind? Because we've all been there at one time or another. And so there's this disconnect so often between our theology and our reality. And the Word of God testifies to something different than that. That is what I came to in my 20s, is I was still living in that cycle of defeat. It was just getting a little further in time between ditches, but I was still doing the same thing. May not have been exactly the same action, but it was the same defeat of heart, the same defeat of mind. And I thought, how in the world do you get out of this? How do you connect the theology of God's Word into the reality of the life? Or is it just theology, and it doesn't have anything to do with the pavement of planet Earth? But the Word of God shows over and over again that it does connect. And how is it that that happens? And so here's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to do it in an effort to give you ideas, not to imitate identically, because that would not be the point of it. What I want to walk you through, because I think that this is what people want so desperately from time to time, what does your approach look like? How do you get traction in your own relationship with God? And perhaps that would give me some ideas. And so there are a couple of deals we have to make before we go further. You have to promise me that these are the kinds of questions you're going to ask of other people. So that you're sharing with one another, this is what I really find works for me. This is what has not worked for me. Because your individual relationship gets to be its own thing with Jesus. He'll shape that with you in a way that is very, very personal to you. So you want to let Him do that. So what I'm hoping to be able to do is that in telling you some things that have worked for me, some ways that my relationship with Him has been alive and really active, that some of these ideas where one is like, no, that really, I don't think that's really the way it's going to work for me, but something else is just like, I think I'm going to try that. Or it may be that it just gives you an idea of something else altogether, but it gets your mind where it's rolling. It gets that soil turned over where something fresh can grow. Because I'm going to tell you this, to this day, if you want to know one of my very favorite things to do, it would be to sit at a table with a pretty seasoned saint and get them to tell me what their day-to-day relationship looks like with Jesus. I love to hear that kind of thing. I want to hear, what are you reading right now? What's really, really lighting the fire of the Spirit in you? I love to know that kind of thing. So I need you to understand something. I don't do this as an example to you because I don't have an exemplary relationship. What I have is just that whatever I can offer you, I want to give you. If anything about it would just make you think, okay, I think I might try that. I think that idea could be activated in my life. Here's what I'll tell you I can bring to the mix. Not an exemplary relationship, but I have a very lively relationship with Him. He is the thing that I most want to be part of. Whatever He's doing, and my prayer time is very alive. So I want to share it with you because I do feel like for a lot of us, and I have been there, I was there for a lot of years, it's anything but alive. I mean, it's a discipline and we're doing it, but it certainly does not feel alive, and it certainly does not feel life-changing to me in any way. So that is where I want to go with you. That I can tell you, it is a lively relationship. And if I've got something to share with you out of that, I want so much to do it. I want to read you Psalm 19, 7 through 14. I'm reading it out of the CSB. And oh, let it sink in, because if you need a little motivation for being in the Word of God, and that's what this is about, is seeing the power of the Word of God that you've heard about 1,000 times if you're in fairly typical faith communities and listen to things and read things of the faith. You hear about this kind of stuff all the time. But how do you activate it in your own life? How do you tap into the power of God's Word? That is what we're doing here tonight, and it's going to tell you why you want to be in it. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. Do you hear what it's saying to you? Because what it's saying to me is, listen, God will teach me through His words things that will make me experienced in ways I have never experienced. You understand what I'm saying? We don't have to learn everything by experience. We learn the deepest things by experience. But what He's saying is, I can so equip you with my word that you will be as one who is experienced in ways that you have never even known, to make the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. Now, what He's doing, He's repeating different words that are standing for Torah, or the word or instruction of the Lord. So we've got the instruction, we've got the testimony, we've got the precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. Don't you want a little lighting up of the eyes? The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold, than an abundance of pure gold, and sweeter than honey dripping from a honeycomb. In addition, your servant is warned by them, and in keeping them, there is abundant reward. He said, being in my word, he said, will not only give you a good warning when you need one, but you will also have much reward from it. Do you see the two sides of it? That by them is your servant warned. In other words, man, I can be in prayer, I can be engaged in God's word, and I can suddenly have that sense come over me that there is a situation in my life where I'm getting a warning that I need to navigate very, very carefully. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then it says this, who perceives his unintentional sins? Cleanse me from my hidden faults. Moreover, keep your servant from willful sins. Do not let them rule me. Then I will be blameless and cleansed from blatant rebellion. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Then I'll read familiar words out of 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Somebody bless the reading of the Word of God. All right, now here are some things I want to get straight with you before I take you into what my basic day-to-day practice is. So the first one is this: keep the goal straight. Keep the goal straight. The goal of time with God is not X amount of minutes. Like, you're not like, my goal is to spend 30 minutes in prayer every morning. My goal is to work into where I could honestly, thoroughly enjoy an hour with the Lord. Those are not our goals. It's not about amount of minutes. It's not about getting it exactly right. What it's about, and I want to give you what I believe to be the goal. What's the goal for me? This is what I'm looking for in my daily practice with Him in the Word. The goal is engaging with God in such a way that abounds the soul and empowers the life. in my day-to-day relationship with him. I'm looking for spiritual practices with him. I'm looking for an approach to him that results in two things, and that is that my soul abounds. In other words, I've got to have him tend to my soul. So do you. We go through a lot of stuff here. We endure a lot of things. We're called to persevere through many, many difficulties. We have wounds that come in our day-to-day lives that we need comfort and we need tending over. I need my soul to be tended to, and I want it to be full and abound. I want my soul to be satisfied. That's a huge part of my approach to God. And the other one is that it empowers the life. This is what I'm bringing up to you in our present hour, is that how does the power of the word that we hear about all the time, the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, and it pierces in to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the marrow. All this power that goes with the word, how in the world does that get activated in the day-to-day life of your regular person like us? What we're looking for is engaging with God in such a way that abounds the soul and empowers the life. And I'm going to share with you my practices, but let me tell you what you've got to really guard against. If you make something legalistic out of this, you have left where I was going, because that is not my goal. It's not my goal in my personal life. I fight it. As much as I would fight license, I fight legalism. There are two extremes that we can go to when we are in Christ. License is, I just have license to do anything I want. That's just a total perversion of grace. I'm going to do anything I want. The cross of Christ has already paid for everything. It does not matter how I live. It does not matter what I do, because I can always count on the fact that I have been cleansed by the blood of Christ, and we have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. But can it distance us? Can the spirit be quenched? Absolutely. Are we called to pursue godliness? Yes. So license is one extreme, but the other extreme is legalism. And I'm going to tell you something. Both of those things lead exactly the same direction. They lead to distance from God. Legalism will take you to the same place license will take you. It just drives you there slower and makes you more confident on your way.
Hi, I'm Selena and this is Natalie. We know this has been one of the most difficult years for us collectively, but we want you to know that God has not once been far from you in all of this. In today's teaching, Beth takes time to show us how to connect and gain traction in our relationship with God.
Beth shares an example of how she does her daily time with the Lord. We just want to encourage you to draw near to His Word.
That's exactly right, Natalie. But if you are looking for some help in getting some structure to your quiet time, Living Proof Ministries is offering this gift as a thank you for your donation. We've put together a personal quiet time box set. It will include a Bible, a daily devotional, a digital download of Beth's full teaching of the series, a journal, and a pen. Perhaps you know a new believer or just someone looking to get more committed to the Word this year. This would be the perfect gift to help inspire them to find joy in the Scriptures daily.
These tools, as Beth says, allows the Word to speak over you before the world does. We look forward to seeing you next week.
It doesn't matter where you are from. If you will give the time and space to this event this weekend, if you will lend your heart to it and you'll really pay attention, then it's going to come right back around, because some of the things we're talking about simply could not be more practical. We're going to be talking about divine power that God exerts on the behalf of people just like you and me. And we're going to see God do something that we could not have thought to ask Him. Lord, we want all that you have for us, every little thing.
Come join us.
License and legalism will always end you up and end me up distant from God instead of close. Give yourself freedom to grow. Give yourself freedom to grow. One of the most important things we could understand about God is that He as surely loves to see us develop in our spiritual lives as we love to see an infant then begin to smile, begin to respond, then clap her little hands and then be able to toddle and walk. Would you want your infant today after tomorrow suddenly have a doctorate in theology? You know what I'm saying? But somehow we expect that of ourselves, that the only thing He really appreciates is for us to already be there immediately. And so we miss the point that it was the growing up in Him, growing up in under a Father's love that makes us secure, that gives us well-being, and that activates that abundant life in us. Know that God knows your circumstance and season. I'm thinking of a mom of an infant that's colicky and never sleeps longer than an hour, including during the night. And not to mention, she's got a toddler she's also taking care of. Would God not know exactly the season and the circumstance that she is in? So please, please know He gets it. Instead of us guilting ourselves into some kind of disciplinary practice that is not even falling on open ears or the fertile soil of the heart, because we're so messed up right now, we don't know north from south. We're just trying to make it till bedtime. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, here's what I don't want you to do and I don't want me to do, and that's not, we don't want to just let ourselves off the hook. But what I'm saying is, to the degree that we can pursue and that we can come to the table and we can receive and we can pour out our hearts before Him, we want to do that. I always think I could probably go a little, about an inch further than I think I can. But there are genuinely times when we're so grief-stricken that all we can do is moan before the Lord. And that's His own prayer. Know that stillness and quietness before Him can be as sacred as speech. So here's how my usual approach goes for whatever good and encouragement this might be to someone. So none of this would be on my little kitchen island where I come every single morning and have my quiet time. In different seasons of my life, I've had my quiet time in different places. And yes, I still call it a quiet time, and it's anything but quiet. Devotional time, whatever you want to call it, but our time to begin the day with God. And I am going to tell you, I do this in the morning, and I know, again, I want you to work this out with God. You may say, you know, I'm not a morning person. I can't even think early in the morning. I get that. I get that. Figure that out with God. But I am going to tell you this. I want His word to speak over me before this world speaks over me. And it speaks loud. It's noisy. And there are a lot of voices going at once. And it is important to me that I hear from God before I hear a whole lot of noise from the world. So I'm going to tell you this. I believe in the theory of 8 hours a night. I don't often get it, but I also am not sleep deprived. But I'm going to tell you this, I probably would get a little closer to 7. I'd love to get 8. Every now and then I do. But for me, that hour with Him is going to outweigh the benefits of the fact that I'm going to get another hour of sleep. So it starts out, first thing I do is I'm going to bring my praises and I'm going to bring my confessions of sin. Why? Well, because what I'm hoping for is that He is going to fill me with His Spirit. So I am wanting to get out any kind of hindrance, anything that I just need to get off my chest, I want to get out first thing. So, Lord, I'm reflecting over the day before, and these are the things I want to bring to You. Man, I'm really sorry that I said that to my husband. I'm really sorry that I was as irritable as I was to so-and-so, that I thought that about so-and-so, anybody, that I gossiped. So I poured out what I have to bring You. I poured out my praise. I poured out my confessions. Now, Lord, would You fill me with Your Spirit? Now, why would that be a thing to pray? Well, because I'm about to go to his word, and it is the Spirit of God that is going to resonate with the words of the Spirit of God on the page. So I want the Spirit of God within me, that earnest deposit of the Spirit of God within me, resonating with the Spirit of God on the page, because I want to be responding to it. I don't want it to just be cold words, black ink on a white, thin page. I want to be responding to it. So I want, Lord, fill me up with your Spirit. Let me come to the word that way. So this is when now I'm going to sit down at my table. By this time I've turned on my coffee maker, somebody give praise to God. So I do my confessions before my coffee, yes, but it is really the only thing that I do before my coffee. So alarm goes off early, bring my praises and my confessions of sin, and I come to the table with my supplies. I have my journal, and it's just a regular spiral. I'm going to have me some pens, and I'm going to have my highlighter. I'm going to, because I'm going to want to highlight some scriptures, and then I have a light. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to bring it and tell it to you. The room is completely dark. I keep it that way on purpose. And I have this little light that I turn on, and I put it down right in front of what I'm doing. And it's shining down on my Bible and on my open journal, so that all in the world I can see in this world for the time being is the Word of God and my open journal. So everything else is completely black. And it does something for me. Just this little bit of light, this one little beam, that everything else in the world fades to black. Me, Jesus, a Bible, a journal, a pen, and a tiny little light. Keeps me from doing anything else. My phone is off. Just me and Jesus and this tiny little light. I have a booklet that has prayers that I can pray for my children. It's scripture prayers that I can pray for my children almost every single morning. One of the first things I do after I sit down is I just open where I am right now. This is my little list of 17 people that I pray for every single day. And I just lift these up and I'm just like, Lord, I pray that you would make my children to be thankful people. Every single one of these have an address with them. So I may do like four or five of those. So I've got my little booklet here. What I also have, I look for books that are just chock full of scripture. So that I know that I could use them in my quiet time, because I know that they're going to have me from one scripture to another. So often what I will do, I am always at the same time reading a book of the Bible. So this is really, really important to me, and I'm going to let this fall on you as you'd have it. Just see what God does with this. But I am going to always read through a book of the Bible because I want to read the actual word. One of the biggest deficits I see in the body of Christ, and one reason why we don't mature past elementary school, is because we are spending our lives doing devotionals. I love devotionals. I love devotionals. But we have to know the actual Word of God. And to read through one book, even if it takes a long time, read through the book of Luke. Then read through the book of Exodus. Go back and forth. That's what I love to do, is I go back and forth between the Old and New Testament. Sometimes I will do a read through in a year, but I really do not like reading that fast. What I'm going to do in my own time with God is that I'm going to do the equivalent of reading two chapters. So if I'm doing a supplemental book, I'll read one chapter of whatever book of the Bible I'm reading, and then I will read the equivalent of that out of the book. So I'll read a couple of pages out of the book. Otherwise, I'm going to read two chapters. If I'm not using a supplemental book, does that make sense to anybody? Then I'm going to read two chapters of that. Right now, I'm reading through the book of Job. I went to Ezra, and then I went to Nehemiah, and then I went to Esther, and then I was staring Job in the face and thought, what can I do? You know, you can only put Job off so long. And so I'm going through that right now and just really persevering through it the best I know how, but that's what's in my box here and some pens. I have a little, this also has a little magnifier if I need to look at a little scholar's note or something like that. I use this. It's just my stuff. Now, one of the things I'm going to do every single time, so here's what, the alarm's gone off. First thing I've done is I've brought my praises and my confessions to God. Then I'm going to come to the table with my supplies, and that's whatever you would use for your time with Him. You're bringing it to wherever you're going to sit. And then I deliberately avail myself to Him. And I think this is a really important part. So however this looks for you, what I'm doing is, this is before I've started reading or anything. This is only after I've sat down with my supplies. I've pulled them out of the box. I've had a little bit of time to pour out my praise and confession on Him. I'm only about, just so that you know, I'm only about 6 minutes in by now. So I just want you to kind of get the time frame. This is not where I've already spent 30 solid minutes getting to this point. I'm a few minutes in here. But I'm going to avail myself. In other words, I want to say to Him, hit me with it. I want it. He says, you know, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. He wants us to want it. And so I'll say things like this, on occasion, I'll say to Him, Lord, I avail myself to the full work of the cross and the resurrection and the ascension of Christ. This day, I just make myself available to You. Other times, I'll just say to Him, here, Father, here's every single part of me. Here is my mind. If there's any part of my mind that You want to use that I've not given You access to, whether it's creativity, whatever it may be, go for it. It's Yours. I avail to You all my emotions. I avail to You my personality. I just, here it is. Here it is. I withhold from You nothing. The most important thing I could tell you in our approach to prayer and our approach to the Word of God is that access exceeds answers. And what I mean by that is the more we engage with Jesus, the more we're going to find that even more than we are seeking an answer to our prayer, we have Him. The most wonderful part of a relationship with Jesus is not what Jesus can do for us, although there is nothing He cannot do. The most wonderful part of a relationship with Jesus is actually Jesus.
Living Proof would like to send you a thank you gift for your donation. Visit BethMoore.org today.